You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, in the 18th chapter, the Lord's teaching, in verse 16, he made a commitment in the last part of that verse. He said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Then the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 13:1 said the same thing. He said, this is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And so if you're going to set yourself to have doctrine for your faith, if you're going to set yourself to believe God, what you want to do is this: build your faith on at least three scriptures that promise you that blessing. So many people are trying to believe God and they don't have any verses to stand on. But you ought to have a minimum of two before you ever start trying to release your faith, praise God. And those two should agree, and he says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. In other words, if I can find at least three places God says it, that's a doctrine, hallelujah. Are you listening to me? That's his will. Sometimes you're reading the Bible, and you know, we want to pull out an isolated text and build our lives on something, you know, and we've seen that cause and create a whole bunch of error, haven't we? And people say, well, I'm believing because I read half a scripture over here and some scripture over here and something over there. And you know, but you don't have anything. But doctrine is consistent throughout the scriptures. It's God speaking to us throughout the word. So in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let us establish. So if we're going to establish healing and God is the healer and we're going to have our faith on God's divine healing, we ought to have, first of all, three scriptures that prove to us, Old and New Testament, that it is God's will to heal us. Amen. Amen. How can you believe for God something that you don't know it's his will to do? Amen. Isn't that right? So we ought to have at least three scriptures that give us God's will, that it is his will to heal us, because healing is in our redemption. Amen. You see, you've got to understand something. If healing's not in the redemptive plan of God, you don't have any right to believe for it. Amen. You can't get anything that Jesus didn't get for you on the cross. Amen. Amen. But anything he got you on the cross, you can have in your life. Praise God. And you ought to build your life on the doctrine of your redemption that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're going to look at three verses, Old Testament, and then the Gospels, and then the New Testament. Somebody said, well, I thought the Gospels was the New Testament. Well, actually, the New Testament is between the Old and the New. It's the fulfilling of the Old and Jesus bringing in the New. Amen? And so here in Matthew, in Isaiah, we're going to look in the Amplified. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, the prophet Isaiah is looking ahead. And he's prophesying the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do you know? Well, if you remember, Philip was told by God to go over into Gaza. And he said, you know, when he got over there, he saw a eunuch who was heading back from worshiping. And he heard him reading. And he was reading from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And the Bible says that God spoke to him and said, go join yourself to that chariot. So he ran up there and jumped on the chariot. And he said, do you know what you're reading? He said, well, how can except somebody teaches me? And then he said, is this prophet talking about himself or someone else? And the Bible says that he began right there and began to preach Christ to him. Hallelujah. Amen. So we know that Isaiah is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 says, surely. Everybody say, surely. That means it's an absolute truth. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows of pain and sorrows and pains of punishment. Notice that he says, surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. That word born there means to take upon oneself, praise God. So the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself all that would cause grief, all sickness, all weakness, and all distress that would come upon us. And then he says, and he carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Carried there means to convey to a far distance. Hallelujah. Now, when you put those two together, it means this, that Jesus put upon himself everything that would cause distress in your life, sickness in your life, grief in your life, pain in your life, sorrow in your life, infirmity in your life, and carried it away from you to a far distance. Hallelujah. Well, where did he carry it to? Well, I believe he carried it right down into hell and deposited it back to the one that started. Amen. Glory to God. Because we'll prove to you in just a moment that sickness does not come from God. It's an operation of Satan. Amen? And so he carried that all away. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. In other words, when he's on the cross, people thought he was being judged because maybe he missed it. But no, he wasn't being judged because he missed it. He was being judged for your and mine sins. Amen? And so he goes on and he says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. See, Isaiah, he corrects that. He says, no, it wasn't God judging Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. It was God judging you and me in Jesus. Amen? Amen. And so he goes on and he says, he was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. Now listen to this. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being was for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Woo, glory to God, folks. That's shouting ground. Amen. Glory to God. In the mornings when I'm up and I'm praying, doing some private devotions and just preparing myself, praise God, I'll go to Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. And I read it out for myself. And I say, Lord, I want to thank you today that surely you have borne my grief, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses and carried my sorrows and pains of punishment. So therefore, this day I reject anything that's going to bring me grief. I command all sickness, weakness, and distress to be gone and have no part in my life. And Lord, I refuse sorrow and pain and punishment. Then I go down to the next one and say, Lord, since you bore my transgressions and my guilt and my iniquities, I thank you, Lord God. I'm washed in your blood. I'm robed in your righteousness. Therefore, there is no more condemnation in my life in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ set me free from the law of sin and death. And thank God I can stand before you clean and holy, washed in the blood. Hallelujah. And then I read the next part and I say, Lord, you said right here the chastisement needful for me to obtain peace and well-being was upon you. So I'll just go ahead and obtain my peace and well-being right now. Hallelujah. I just receive peace and well-being coming upon me so that I can walk in victory. And Lord, just to finish it out, I want to thank you that by the stripes that wounded you, I am healed and made whole. And I'm all healthy, strong, and going to walk in victory today. Amen. Well, you know, you read that and you say, that's good. Well, let's find a second witness. Remember, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, that's how you establish doctrine. Look in Matthew, the 8th chapter, verses 16 and 17. Once again, reading this out of the Amplified. It says, when the evening came, they brought to Jesus many who were under the power of demons. What did the Lord do whenever they brought these people that were under the power of the devil and under demons' influence? He drove out the spirits with the word. Woo, glory to God. Jesus just spoke to them, didn't he? Amen. Spoke the word to them and restored to health all who were sick. Oh, come on. And restored to health all. Everybody say all. Hallelujah. If he took care of all, then he's still taking care of all today. Amen. And restored to health all who were sick. Why did he do it? He says, and thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. See, he's going to refer right now back to Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. He himself took in order to carry away our weaknesses and infirmities and bore away our diseases. Hallelujah. So we see in the life of Jesus, Jesus is fulfilling what Isaiah said. He's living it out. He's walking it out. He is manifesting it here on the earth. Amen. But let's just don't stop there. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Is it God's will to heal? Is healing in the redemption? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Listen to what he says. He personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree as on an altar and offered himself on it that we might die, cease to exist to sin, and live to righteousness. Woo, glory to God. Now that's shouting ground, isn't it? Jesus personally took my sin upon himself and bore it on the cross as an altar. In other words, he was making a sacrifice for me before God Almighty so that I could die to sin, cease to exist to sin. That means me and sin are no longer friends. Amen. We don't hang out together. We don't plan things together. We don't do parties together. Amen. Sin and I ceased to exist. That fellowship got broke. Hallelujah. Amen. And now we're no longer friends. I'm not friends with sin. I refuse sin in my life. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ personally took my sins, my misgivings, my wrong deeds, my mistakes, my failures, that lifestyle of living away from God, and bore it upon the cross as an altar and presented it to God. Why? So that I could die and cease to exist to it, so I wouldn't be condemned with it, so I wouldn't live in it, so it wouldn't be a part of my life anymore. Amen? And then I could walk in righteousness with God. I could walk in a right standing with God Almighty. But let's just don't stop there. Look at the rest of the verse. By His wounds, you have been healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah says we are going to be healed. Matthew says He did it so that He could fulfill what Isaiah said. And Peter, looking back to the cross, says, and by His stripes, now you were healed. Were healed. That means what? That means it's God's will to heal. And He shows us it's His will to heal in the Old Testament. He shows us it's His will to heal in the Gospels. And He shows us it's His will to heal in the Epistles. And so therefore we find in the Old Testament and the New Testament that God is the healer, and healing is a part of our redemption. And we have got Scripture to base our faith upon. Amen? Don't base your faith on what somebody else says. Don't base your faith on what you feel. Don't base your faith on what the report is. Base your faith on Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, Matthew 8, 16 and 17, and 1 Peter 2, 24, and believe God and use your faith to stand on that as doctrine. Hallelujah. Why? Because the devil can't fight doctrine. How do you know? Because the Word of God is the doctrine of God. Doctrine means God's plan, God's purpose, the foundation of what God does. Amen? Remember in Matthew's gospel, of course Luke does too, but Matthew 4, when the devil came to Jesus in the wilderness when He was fasting and He was presenting Himself to the Father and preparing Himself for His ministry, and the devil came to tempt, test, and try Him. How did the Lord defeat the devil? Oh, he waved a magic wand and threw a stick down to turn into a serpent? No. How did the Lord defeat the devil? He's our example, and however He defeated the devil, is how you and I are going to defeat the devil. How did the Lord defeat those attacks and the temptations and the tests the devil threw at Him? The Lord just turned to Him and said, Mr. Devil, it is written. Come on. He didn't try to come up with some prophetic word. He just took Him to the Word. Hallelujah. And the devil had to quit. And then so the devil came back. Then he tried him again. And Jesus just went right back to the Word and said, Mr. Devil, it's written. And spoke the Word to him again. And he came back again. And the Lord rebuked him and spoke the Word to him again. And the Bible says the devil left him for a season. Well, he had to go lick his wounds for a while. Amen? And if we want to overcome the tests, trials, and temptations of infirmity, of sorrow, of distress, of grief, or anything else the devil's trying to throw at us, we need to understand that divine healing is God's will for you and me. Are you listening to me? Why do I believe that? Because God establishes it in His Word. But if I'm going to operate in that divine healing, I'm going to have to build my faith on what the Word says and nothing else. Amen? So I need to build those Scriptures into my spirit, praise God. What's the second thing? I said I want to give you five facts about divine healing. The first one is, it's God's will to heal you because healing is in the redemptive plan of God. The second one is, you've got to understand, if you're going to walk in health, is this: sickness comes from the devil, not from God. It is not God putting sickness on you to teach you something. He sent the Holy Ghost to teach you. He put apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers in the church to teach you. He gives you the Word to teach you. Amen? All right, listen to me. He does not use the devil to teach you. Sickness comes from the devil, not from God. Look in Acts, the 10th chapter. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Here Peter is preaching to Cornelius' house, and he's bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. And notice what he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with sickness and disease. No. That's the religious standard version. Let's read it out of the right version. Amen? No. Look what he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Notice that the Lord Jesus is the healer and the devil is the oppressor. Notice that the Lord, through the Apostle Peter, says that all sickness is oppression from the devil. Amen. Is Satan oppressing you with sickness? Is Satan trying to steal, kill, and destroy out of your life? Notice that all sickness is oppression that comes from the devil. All disease. Now, how do you know that? Well, if it wasn't coming from the devil, Jesus wouldn't have had to born it on himself. Amen. And if it was from God, then God the Father and God the Son are not in agreement. Because if God the Father was putting sickness on you and Jesus bore it so he could get it off of you, there's disagreement going on between God the Father and God the Son. Amen? And Jesus said a kingdom divided can't stand. So therefore the kingdom of heaven would be divided because Jesus was coming to undo the will of God. No, no, no. We find out right here that no, the sickness and oppression doesn't come from God. Sickness and oppression comes from the devil. Amen. And Jesus came to deliver us from sickness. He came to deliver us from oppression. He came to deliver us from all the things that the enemy would try to throw on us. Remember over in Luke's Gospel, the 13th chapter, verses 10 through 16, when Jesus went into a synagogue on the Sabbath day and he's preaching, and there's a woman that had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. Remember that lady? And she's bowed over and she couldn't get up. And so the Lord's preaching and he called her over to him and laid his hands on her and healed her. And they all got mad. And you get down there about the 16th verse and he said, "Now ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on this Sabbath day?" Amen. Notice what the Lord said. He said it was the devil that had bound her up all that time. But thank God Jesus came to set her free. Amen. Sickness and disease and oppression is from the devil, not from God. John 10:10 says that it's the thief, the devil, that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Amen? And if you're going to walk in divine health and you're going to get healed and you're going to get set free from things that are going to try to take you down, you have to understand that this sickness, this oppression, this thing that's trying to pull me down and defeat me did not come from God. It's not God trying to teach me something. It is not God trying to work something out in my life. This is the devil that's come to steal, kill, and destroy, and he has come to oppress me and keep me from having what Jesus purchased for me on Calvary's cross, and so therefore I reject it in Jesus' name. Amen? And you have to go ahead and make Jesus your healer, praise God. And you make him your healer not because you healed. You make him your deliverer, not because you delivered. You make him, you know, your great physician, not because you feel like it. You do it because the Word says it. Amen. And you know what happens? If you'll just keep speaking it out and believing it and speaking it out and believing it and speaking it out and believing it, first thing you know, it'll get from your head down into your heart and it'll become reality to you, praise God. And then God's doctrine will become your doctrine. And you know what happens whenever God's doctrine becomes your doctrine? It determines how you live. Amen. See, most people today aren't walking in victory because all they have is a religious head knowledge of what God said. But what you've got to do is you've got to do what God told Joshua. Remember when Joshua was getting ready to take over from Moses and take them on across the River Jordan and take him over into Canaan's land, and Moses had laid hands on him and the spirit of wisdom had come upon him and the anointing was upon him. And here he is, he's called, he's anointed, he's ready to go. And in that first chapter, God looks at him and twice he says, "Now Joshua, be strong and of good courage." Well, God knew what he's talking about. My goodness, he got over on that other side and had so much stuff going on. He better be strong and of good courage. Amen. And you know what? If you're going to follow God, the very first thing you need to make up your mind is this: I'm going to be strong and courageous. Amen. How many of you found out the Christian life is not for the timid? Amen. If you're going to live for the Lord, you better be strong and of good courage. Hallelujah. You better get courageous. You better get bold, and you better get all in, praise God. And then it gets down there in verse 8, and you know what God told Joshua to do to be strong and courageous? He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." Now, that doesn't mean you don't talk the word. It means you don't ever let the devil get the word out of your mouth. Don't you ever let the devil steal the word out of your confession. Don't let yourself be found talking doubt, defeat, failure, and unbelief. Amen? Huh? He said you're going to have to keep the word in your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Get it down in the midst of your heart. What's he talking about? He's saying, son, stay with this thing. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. Meditate on it. Get it in your heart. Get it in your consciousness. Get it in your mind. Think about it. Make it to the point where something comes up, the first thing that comes to your mind is the Word of God. Whenever the enemy attacks you, remember the Word says, get it so into your heart and into your mind that when you're under attack, what comes out of your mouth is the Word and not defeat and failure. He says, because if this word will not depart out of your mouth and you'll meditate in it day and night, he says, and you get it down in your heart, he says, then you'll make good decisions. You'll make wise decisions and you'll come out of this thing victorious. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Then you'll make your way prosperous and have good success. Hallelujah. Now, this is the thing. Isn't it amazing? God had already told him he was going to give him the promised land. Isn't that right? It was theirs. It officially, legally belongs to them because God said he was giving it to them. But now here before they go to get it, God says you have to be very strong and you have to be very courageous and you have to get the word in your mouth and don't let anything get it out of your mouth. Don't talk doubt. Don't talk fear. Don't talk fear. Don't talk I can't. Talk the word. And to do that, you have to meditate, think on it, ponder it, get it in your heart, get it in your mind, get it inside of you until it drops down in your heart. Because when you get that word in your heart and get it in your mouth, then you'll know how to deal with the situation and you'll make your way prosperous and have good success. Doing what? Being successful. Successful having what I said you can have. Amen? Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. You know what he's saying? He's saying you need to get all in on this thing. See, a lot of times, folks, we're not defeated because the devil's so big. We're defeated because we talk the wrong thing, believe the wrong thing, and don't have any foundation to stand on. Amen? So we got to get the word in. So number two, sickness is not from God. Sickness is from the devil. It's a thief. It comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you're going to have to learn to put your faith in God and stand against it and refuse to let it dominate you. Amen? Number three, there are three basic ways in the Bible that we receive divine healing from God. The first one, of course, is 1 Corinthians 12:9. Talks about gifts of healings where God initiates healing. See, there, God is a sovereign God. And there are times, like in John's gospel, the fifth chapter, when Jesus came to the pool there in Bethesda, and he found all those five portions, and he told the man that had been there 38 years, he said, do you want to be healed? And the guy said, I don't have anybody to help me in the water. And Jesus just said, well, take up your bed and go on home and be healed. Praise God. I mean, he initiated that, didn't he? And you know that there's healing there because an angel would come down, stir the water, first one in the water got healed. But did you ever notice that whenever God's initiating, there were five porches of people there and only one got healed? Why? Because when God's initiating, that's a sovereign move of God. And God's sovereign. And if he wants to do something, he don't have to ask your mind opinions or our permission. Amen? See, God didn't have to get in touch with the religious priests in Jerusalem and say, can I go down to Bethesda every now and then and stir the water and heal somebody? No, he can just do what he wants to do. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 over there in verse 11 says, he says, but all these manifestations come as the Spirit will. So you can't, you know, that man been 38 years trying to get healed. See, a lot of people miss it on getting their healing because they're waiting on God to initiate the healing. Well, thank God he does. But have you ever been in a great meeting? And I've been in them. I've been in meetings where there's been 3,000 to 5,000 to 6,000, 8,000 people, and the Spirit of God would move, and maybe manifestations of the Spirit. And now that 3,000 to 5,000 people, maybe 6 or 8 people get healed supernaturally by gifts of the Spirit. Well, why would he do that? I don't know. I'm not God. Why did he just heal one guy at the pool? Amen? But every now and then, God will initiate healing. Why? Well, I believe it's this. I believe God initiates healings on his own to stir it up in us to let us know that he's the healer, and he's trying to get us all to believe that if he'll do it for one, he'll do it for all. Amen? So the first way that healing comes, divine healing comes, is God will initiate something. And you've got to understand something, folks. God is a spirit, and when God heals divinely, it's a spiritual healing. It works from the spirit to your spirit. Amen? See, physical healing, doctors use, is dealing with the physical. They give you physical things for the physical symptoms. And then you get some of these mind science stuff, and they try to heal through the mental process, if you know, thinking it out. You know, that don't work out real good. You know what I'm saying? I think I'm not going to die. Next thing you know, that you know, we're doing your funeral, because you can't outthink some of these things. Amen? But when God heals, he heals as a spirit. John says in writing to us there, he says God is a spirit, doesn't he? And God does spiritual healing. How does God heal us in our spirit? Well, he's going to have to get faith in our hearts, get the word in our heart, because the word is spiritual, and then that word begins to work in us, praise God. You've got to believe God in your heart to get healed. And that's the second method of being healed, is using your own faith, praise God. Amen? The second way that God heals us, remember in Mark's gospel, the 5th chapter, verses 25 through 34, thereabouts, remember the woman had the issue of blood? And she heard of Jesus. And so she began to say, if I just can touch but the hem of his garments, I'll be healed. And she pressed away through the crowd. And she got down there and touched Jesus. And the power of God flowed out of her. Remember that story? And she got healed of that plague and felt it in her body. She was healed of that plague. You know what Jesus said to her in verse 34? Mark 5, 34. He said, be of good cheer, daughter. Thy faith has made thee whole. Hallelujah. Her faith initiated the healing power of God to flow from him to her. Amen? So we don't have to wait till the water stirs. Glory to God. We don't have to wait till the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. We can hear the word and hear that Jesus is our healer and let it get in our heart and release our faith and begin to believe God, and we can initiate healing on our own. She initiated the healing. Because Jesus stopped and said, I have felt power flow out of me. Somebody touch me. And it wasn't a physical touch. It wasn't an emotional touch. It wasn't a feeling touch. It was the touch of faith. How do you know? Because in verse 34, he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. See, a lot of people were touching him, but they were touching out of hope. So maybe so. See, something happens. But this woman actually forced the power of God out of the Lord into her with her faith. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. And I've got good news for you. God's no respecter of persons. If her faith could get her healed, your faith can get you healed. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, there's a third way that God initiates healing, and that is Mark 16. Remember over in verse 18, and they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God initiates healings from anointed ministries that have a healing anointing, and you can get healed through someone else's faith and yours working together. Amen? Jesus did a lot of healings by laying hands on people, didn't he? And ministering to them. And you know, most of the time whenever he healed them, it was his faith working with their faith, getting them healed. Hallelujah. In fact, in Mark 16, the Great Commission, before you're supposed to lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name, you're supposed to preach the gospel to them. Come on, read it. Verse 15, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And he goes on and says, in my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. And then it says this, if they pick up serpents, it won't harm them. If they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall get well. They shall. But it comes after preaching the gospel. Why? Because you see, what you're doing is you're getting people's faith up to work, and you're getting your faith up, and the two coming together, you receive together as one. So God initiates healing through the anointing upon a person ministering and your faith being released at the same time. Amen? So how the three ways, the main ways that God initiates healing? One, sovereignly, God initiates healing. He just booms through the gifts of the Spirit. Number two, through your own faith, by you hearing the word and believing yourself. And number three, by being in anointed service and going forward, having hands laid on you or ministered to by someone who's anointed, so that your two faiths can come together and God can heal. Amen? Now, let's look at number four. What's the fourth key? Number one is it's God's will to heal you because it's in his redemptive plan. Number two, sickness comes from the devil, not from God. Number three, there are three basic ways to receive healing from God. Number four, healing is not always instant. Boy, here's where a lot of people get defeated. They think, well, if God's going to heal me, he'll just do it right now. It's over with. Glory to God. But they'll get in line. You lay hands on them in Jesus' name. Power of God comes on them, but they don't feel any different, so they leave. And the first thing you know, they start thinking, well, I thought I got it, but apparently I didn't because I still feel some pain. Or I don't feel better. I don't look better. Things don't seem like it got better. No, he says they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall get well. See, not all healing is instant, folks. Not all healing is immediate. Remember over there in Luke's gospel, 17th chapter, verses 11 through 15, Jesus was coming into a village. There were 10 lepers that met him. Remember that story? And they started crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. And says, as they turned and went, they were healed. Glory to God. What's that mean? Every step they took, they got better. As they acted on the commandment of the Lord, they got better. Praise God. They didn't get healed instantly, but they turned. And as they went, the healing began to manifest in their body. I believe by the time they got back to the priest, all the leprosy was gone. Amen? Because the healing power began to work in their lives. But let's look at one place here just to help you with that. Look in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter. Sometimes it helps us to read it. Remember over here in John the 4th chapter. And it's verse 46. The nobleman's son, John chapter 4 and verse 46. So it says, and Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water to wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went up to and implored him, this is what it says, come down and heal my son, for he is at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you people see a sign and wonder, you'll by no means believe. But the nobleman said to him, sir, come on down before my child dies. And Jesus said to him, now listen, Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. Notice this. He don't have anything to see. He's not anywhere around, but he just said, the Lord said, go, your son lives. I'm going to take the Lord at his word. Amen? That's faith, isn't it? Now let's see what happens. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them. Now listen, the hour when he began to get better. Look at that. The hour when he got better. Hallelujah. Notice that? He started to get better, didn't he? King James says the hour he began to amend. So that means what? That means he didn't get all of his healing instantly, but he started getting better the moment the man believed. Amen? Now let's read on. I want you to see something here. And they said to him, yesterday at the very hour that the fever, the servant, the hour left him. And he says, and the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he and himself believed in his whole household. Now listen to this next part. This again is the second miracle Jesus did when he'd come out of Judea into Galilee. Whoa, wait a minute. This is the second sign or miracle that Jesus did. You know, he's calling this a miracle. But this guy didn't get healed instantly. I mean, he didn't come up here in the front and get hands laid on him and then all of a sudden just started jumping and running around the building. Wow! The fever broke and he started getting better. The moment Jesus spoke the word and the man believed it. And the next day, by the time he gets there, he's already getting better and better and better. He began to recover, didn't he? And you know what the Bible says? That being healed over a process is just as much a miracle from God as being healed instantly the moment he prays for you. Are you listening to me? It's still the miracle power of God working a work in your life. So don't ever, once again, let the devil get the word out of your mouth. Amen? Because whether every symptom leaves immediately or not, you believe your healing has begun. And a miracle is in operation in my life. Why? Because God is my healer, and Jesus has sent his word to heal me. Amen? Now let's look at the next one. What's the final thing here? Healing is not instant. The final thing is this, and you need to be aware of this. Healing can be lost. Did you hear me? You can lose your healing. You can literally come to a service like this, get prayed for, get healed, and lose your healing. Amen. How am I going to do that? Mark chapter 4 and verses 14 and 15. Remember what Jesus said? The sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside who once they've heard the word, the Satan comes immediately and does what? And takes away the word that was sown in their heart. Satan's a thief. And here's the thing you got to understand. If you let the devil get the word out of your heart, then the word can't produce what it was sent to do. Amen? You cannot let the devil steal the word out of your heart because if he gets the word, he'll get what the word was producing. You need to hear me. Are you hearing me? See, a lot of us, we don't realize the importance of the word. But remember what he said in Psalm 107:20? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. And here in Mark chapter 4, if you get down to verse 20, the Lord goes on and teaches, and he says, and this is the good ground. This is the ground that produced 30 and 60 and 100-fold. Here's the good ground. What's the good ground, Lord? Those who hear the word, receive the word, and act upon it. Those who hold on to it and don't let the devil steal it. Why? Because if I keep the word in my heart and don't let the devil steal it out, it will produce in me what it was sent to do. But the word can't produce in me what it was sent to do if I let the devil steal it. Amen? I mean, if I go out and plant a row of seed and while I'm sleeping, somebody comes along and goes out at that night and goes down the row and starts plucking the seed out of the ground, I don't care how much I confess over my ground, we'll have a good crop, because the seed got taken out of the ground, and the only way I can have a crop is if I keep that seed in the ground. And see, the devil will come with attack your mind. He'll attack you with symptoms. He'll attack you. In fact, sometimes, folks, after you believe God that you're going to get healed, it'll seem like you get worse. Anybody besides me ever been there? Huh? Why? Because the devil's trying to get you to quit on the Word of God. He's trying to get you to give up on the Word. He's trying to get down in there and take that Word out, because he knows if I can get the Word out of you, it'll quit producing in you what it was sent to do. That's why God told Joshua, don't let the word depart out of your mouth. Whether you feel like saying I'm being healed or not, say it. Whether or not it looks like it's working or not, keep saying it. Don't let the devil get you to say anything contrary to the word of God. Amen? And you'll have, I'm telling you folks, he'll attack your mind. He will. Come on. He'll come after your thought process, and he'll come and hit you in your head, and he's all those thoughts are just kind of get you to do this. Well, I thought I was healed, but I guess I'm not. Huh? I thought I was going to get my healing when I got prayed for, but I feel worse today than I did before I got prayed for. I must not got healed. Wonder what just happened. The word just departed out of your mouth, and the devil just stole the word out of your heart, and now God can't do anything because God works through his word. And you just lost your healing. Amen? Because you let the enemy steal it from you. So what am I going to do to stop him from stealing it from me? I'm going to do what James 4:7 says. I'm going to submit myself to God. I'm going to resist the devil until he flees from me. Amen? How am I going to do that? See, here's the problem, folks. God says in James 4:7, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But most of us submit ourselves to the devil, resist God, and our healing flees from us. Amen? What do you mean you submit yourself to the devil and resist God? Well, you listen to everything the devil says and say what he says. Then you get what he has, and then you get mad at God because you didn't get healed. Well, how can you get what God has for you if you just go and do what the devil says you got? Amen? So what am I going to do? I'm going to do this. Remember over in Matthew's gospel, the 12th chapter, that when Jesus was teaching over there, he said this. He said that when an unclean spirit's cast out, down around verse 42, somewhere in that area, he said it's that unclean spirit's cast out. He says he goes and walks the dry places of the earth, seeking to find rest, can't find it. He says what he does then, he'll come back to his house and knock on that door, and it opens up, and he realizes, hey, this thing is open. It's clean, it's been swept out, it's been put in order, but it's empty. And he goes and gets him seven others worse than himself, and they go back in and they have a bigger party than they had the first time. Why? Because you didn't guard your house. You left it empty. You didn't keep the word in there. The only thing that's going to keep the devil from defeating you in a counterattack is you getting the word in your heart and in your mouth. And how am I going to do that? I'm going to submit myself to God. I'm going to resist him with my words. What's that mean? When the enemy attacks me physically, I'm going to say, no, 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 Mr. Devil, I'm not going to agree with you. I went up there and had hands laid on me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I released my faith, and according to the word of God, healing's in operation in my life. I'm being healed right now. I don't care whether I look like it. I don't care whether I feel like it. I don't care what anybody says about it. I believe that I received healing because by his stripes I was healed. And I submit myself to God, and I resist you. In fact, the more you tell me I'm not going to make it, the more I'm going to shout and praise God and act like I am going to make it. Amen? See, the man received a miracle for his son because he turned when Jesus said, you know, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. And he says, Lord, I don't need a sign and wonder. I just want my son healed. He says, okay, go your way and be healed. The man said, okay, I believe you. And he turned around and walked off. Amen. No feelings, nothing to base it on. Just faith to believe that if Jesus said it, I can have it. That settles it. And he got a miracle in his home. Folks, if he could get a miracle in his home, you can get a miracle in your home. Are you listening to me? But you got to believe it and you got to stand on it. In fact, when he got back, they coming to him, he didn't stop him and say, oh my God, has he gotten worse? Read it. He didn't do that. He says when they came back, they came running to him. And he just stopped and looked at him. He's not saying anything other than what Jesus said. I'm not talking doubt. I'm not going to question it. I'm not going to ask if he's any better. They came running up and he said, hey, he's getting better. He said, really? When did he start getting better? Yesterday about such and such an hour. He said, my God, that's exactly when Jesus said he's going to get better. Hallelujah. In other words, it was working all that time and he didn't know it. Ooh, glory. Meaning what? From the moment that he believed Jesus, it started working, didn't it? Do you think that that man had some thoughts hitting his head while he was walking back down towards his house? Huh? Do you think that there wasn't thoughts of, oh my God, he's gotten worse, and they're coming to tell me he's dead? You know what he did? If you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. That man just stayed quiet. Why? The devil ain't getting a word out of my mouth. I'm not talking anything but blessing. I ain't talking anything but miracle. I'm not talking anything but healing. I'm not talking anything but victory. I'm going to stay with Jesus. I don't care what it looks like. Amen? See, Hebrews 4:14 tells us to do that. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed in the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Well, this is the thing. If somebody wasn't trying to take it from you, you wouldn't have to hold fast to it, would you? Huh? That must mean that there's going to be somebody out there trying to get me to say something other than what Jesus says. Huh? And so when that symptom hits me, you know what it is? It's the devil trying to get me to say, oh God, I thought I was healed, but I don't think I got it because I feel worse. Uh-oh. I just let the devil steal the word out of my mouth. You know what? I better get that word and put it back in my mouth and get it back down in the ground, because if I don't keep it planted, it can't produce. Amen? And see, that's where a lot of people get in mistakes too when they're trying to get a healing or a miracle or a blessing from God. They plant the word and then they go up the next morning and they go out and dig it up and see if it's growing yet. It ain't growing yet. And they stick it back down the ground. And then they come out the next morning and they dig it back up. You got to leave it in there. Amen? How many of you found out you can't take a seed and keep planting it every other day and pull it back out, see if it work? It won't germinate. It won't take root unless you leave it in there. Isn't that right? So what am I going to do? I'm going to realize that, praise God, it's God's will to heal me because it's in the Word. It's in the redemption. And I'm going to thank God that this didn't come from God. He's not trying to test me. He's not trying to teach me. He's not trying to show me anything. It's the devil trying to steal my victory out of my life and oppress me and defeat me. And I don't have to have this. And God, whether you initiate a healing or I have to get it on my faith, or I'm going to go up there and have someone pray and agree with me and lay hands on me, and we'll join our faith together. Healing belongs to me. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I want to thank you and praise you right now that I'm going to keep this word in my mouth and in my heart. And I'm going to thank you, Lord, that no devil is going to steal it from me. And the end result is I receive my miracle from my God. Amen.